May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On this final Sunday of Easter, we are given this lengthy and intricate story about Paul and Silas. It's a rich story. Paul and Silas are still in Philippi, where they were last week when they met Lydia and her worshiping community down by the river. The place of prayer where they are headed at the beginning of this reading is probably the spot by the river where Lydia and her people worship. And then on the way, they meet an enslaved girl. It's a sad situation. The girl is possessed by a spirit. Perhaps today we might recognize this as a form of mental illness or another disorder. And because of this, her owners use her to make a profit. People believe that because of the spirit, she can tell fortunes. It's human trafficking. She follows Paul and Silas around, and Paul gets annoyed with her. Did you catch that in the reading? Paul's kind of a cranky character sometimes. Paul gets annoyed with this slave girl. Why? Is it just the incessant following them around, pestering them? Is it announcing their presence in the streets when they might actually prefer to travel a little more covertly? Or is it that she's saying, these men are slaves of the Most High God? Does that strike a nerve with Paul? Whatever the reason for his annoyance, it is out of that annoyance, it is not out of goodness of heart, that Paul frees the girl. It's worth pointing out here that Paul's purity, or lack of it in his intention, doesn't actually matter. God can work with Paul's annoyance. God can work with this grumpy old guy. God works through even less ideal circumstances in our scriptures and in our lives to bring good things about. And God uses Paul's annoyance to set this girl free of her spirit. We don't know how her story ends. The author of Acts sweeps us right along to the next part of this story. Paul and Silas are arrested because they have ruined the slave owner's business prospects. They have disrupted the local economy. What's the place where you make someone hurt, right? If you want attention, you make them hurt in their wallet, right? Well, Paul did it, and they have attention in the worst way. The magistrates and the crowds agree this is a bad thing. So, in a scene that might well remind us of Good Friday, Paul and Silas are stripped naked and beaten, and then thrown into prison where they are put in stocks. In prison, Paul and Silas do what Christians do in hard times. They worship and pray. This attracts the attention of the other prisoners. And then around midnight, as they're still singing and praying, an earthquake shakes the prison, and the prisoners' doors spring open. The jailer, assuming that all the prisoners have run out, plans to take his own life. There's not a lot of room for forgiveness in service to the empire. But Paul and Silas surprise him. They and all the prisoners are still there. Remember what the slave girl said at the beginning. Paul and Silas are prisoners. They are captive. They are slaves of the Most High God. But ironically, slaves of the Most High God are the only ones who are truly free. You see, Paul knows what it means to have been sprung from a different kind of prison, a prison of his own making, a prison of violence and hate, a prison of fear and judgment, a prison of shame and anxiety. The prison he trapped himself in back when he was Saul, the chief persecutor of the church. And he knows the grace, the freedom, the forgiveness that God granted him that freed him from that dark and depressing prison. And so he has become trapped by the love of Christ, imprisoned by God's grace, a servant of the Most High God. A bond that is not going to let him go for all his days of this life and beyond. So when Paul witnesses the guard draw out his sword, about to take his own life in violence and in utter despair, Paul has to cry out, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." And that act of care for someone who was his enemy, that act of service for someone whose death would certainly have meant his freedom from that prison, that act of love for someone who has been part of his painful punishment, it's greater witness than even all of Paul and Silas's singing and praying in prison. By that one act, right then and there, the jailer who has been captive and imprisoned by duty, by fear, by sin, is freed. His heart is converted, and he is baptized. And a new slave of the Most High God has been captured by the love of Christ. Paul knows that he and Silas have been freed not just from this prison, but from the prison of sin and death. The knowledge of the greatness, the goodness, the richness of that true freedom is so intense that it holds him captive to the love of God. They have been freed not just to live their own lives, but they have been freed in love to help others live too. Paul and Silas are Easter people raised up for the sake of the world, and so are we. The grace, mercy, and love of God frees us from every prison we know, from sin and death, from every prison of our own making, a prison of violence and hate, a prison of fear and judgment, a prison of shame and anxiety, the prison we might have trapped ourselves in back before we knew the love of God. But as it is for Paul and Silas, it's not that we're just sprung from prison once and then everything's okay. It's that we imprison ourselves in shame and in worry each day as the ways of the world bring upon us fear and judgment time and again, as we know violence and hate all around. And the love of Christ comes to us to free us again and again and again and again. Let me give you an example from my own life this week, and bear with me. It takes a little vulnerability to do so. This week, I made a big mama mistake. If you've seen Felix this morning, you might already have some idea of where I'm going with this. If you haven't seen Felix yet, you should know he's got a skinned up face. This week, while walking the dog, Felix and I took a tumble. It was not the dog's fault. It was totally mine. Tripped over my own feet. And Felix was in the carrier right in front of me. And though I caught us and did my best to break our fall, he went face first. And it was scary. And there was blood. And there was a lot of crying. His crying actually stopped well before mine. But we were okay. And yet, even though we were okay, even though I knew it was an honest mistake and I did my best to break our fall and keep us safe, even though the woman who was right there stopped to reassure me that I wasn't a bad mom and she told me about stories falling with her own two boys, even though Dan and my mom and my sister-in-law and my friends have all reassured me about a million times between Thursday and today that I'm not a bad mother and that accidents happen, and even though I'm sure many of you want to tell me the same, even though I thought about asking Dan and Felix to not come to church this morning. Out of shame. Out of embarrassment. Out of not wanting anyone to see my mistake. And that's actually the sad part. Not that it happened, because we are okay and mistakes do happen and this won't be the last time I let my child down. The sad part is that I am a prisoner to my own shame, my own anxiety about what other people will think of me, my own fear of failure. I think that's what the sin in this is. Not the bruises and the scrapes that Felix and I both have, but the bruises I'm giving myself, beating myself up afterwards. The example I'm setting for him as I beat myself up. I am meant to be captive, not to this shame, but to the love of the Most High God. And so are you. We are slaves of the Most High God, not to any fear we feel, not to any shame or anxiety we know, not to any doubts or failures that plague us. Those are all prisons of our own making, prisons that keep us from the love of Jesus and the love of one another, from community and joy. The love of the Most High God sets us free from all of that, sets us free to share that love with others. We are an Easter people raised up from every trip and stumble, from every fall and failure, raised up for the sake of the world. What might it mean if we could trust that every day? If we lived as if we actually believed in the freedom of that love, if we could shake off the prisons of our own making and be captive instead to the love of Christ, what lives might be saved? What hearts might be changed? Young girls set free, believers baptized. So this morning, Felix and Dan are here. You can look upon my shame and tell me it's okay if you need to. But we know that which actually sets us free is not of our own making. It's the love of Christ. For the love of Christ, which frees us and somehow yet still holds us bound, we give thanks to God. Amen.